We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need to be someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk brings being still an infant. It's not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptism and the laying on of the hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. God permitting, we will do so. So, what are you doing? My kids are laughing because they were telling me about something that was on YouTube using that very title. I've never seen it. I don't know what it's about. I don't care what it's about. But if some of you have seen it, you know what it's about. But I just had to get that out there because I knew they were going to laugh when I first said it. Sometimes there's a disadvantage to having family members, but most of the time it's a great advantage because you can always look to them while you're preaching for strength. You know, we've used that term in many different forms and in many different ways, or that saying or statement or question, what are you doing? You know, unfortunately, many times it's said in anger. And I confess, I've probably said it in anger sometimes to my children, not so much now, but when they were younger. I'd walk in the room and something was going on, and I'd go, "What are you doing?" That would get them to stop, but I don't know if it'd ever keep them from doing it again, but that's the kind of thing that we think of sometimes, that the very first thing that comes to our mind when we walk in and we see somebody doing something that's not quite what they should be doing or what should be done, and you yell at them in anger. Sometimes, however, though, there's a more friendly approach to it, because you'll meet up with a friend or an acquaintance that you haven't seen for a while, and they'll go, "What are you doing now?" That's a trigger sometimes for you to tell them about whatever job it is that you have and how it's going and the different things that are going on with it. And you, in return, then can ask the same question to them, just to kind of a lead in to get to what's going on in your friend's life, because maybe you haven't seen them for quite a while. Sometimes we say, the question's asked, "What are you doing?" And they're inquiring about the things that your family's doing. And you can tell them about where all your children are and what's going on there and any trips that you've taken or plan on taking, and maybe even where you're living now. Sometimes also we just see someone going out the door or leaving and go, you just might say, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm going to a movie." You know, we don't always have to keep track of where everyone's doing, but sometimes those kind of things just pop out. It's just a common phrase sometimes that you can say, and it has a purpose. You know, in saying all this and looking back at the scripture, though, we can think of many ways that we have or have not changed. Because in this passage, The writer is very adamant that these people have started their belief in Jesus, but they haven't moved anywhere. They're still right there where they're just taking on milk and haven't moved on to solid food, because they're being urged to learn and to grow so that they might be able to teach others. Sometimes we forget that no matter how old or how young we are, we need to be able to continue to grow in our faith with Jesus each and every day, so that when the opportunity comes, we can teach and share with others. This kind of thing also made me think of high school reunions. I haven't been to one for over 20 years now, I guess. I went to the first one, and only one that I went to was our 20th. And we were living near the town where I grew up, so it was an easy thing to do. And the very first thing I heard from somebody on the committee that was put together was, you're a pastor, would you like to do a memorial service for the classmates that have passed on in the last 20 years and some of the teachers? I go, okay, I suppose I could do that. A lot of it stems from, maybe you remember those people in school, but you have no clue as to what's gone on in their lives since then. And so it's kind of hard sometimes to think of as something like that. But I was really honored to be thought of and to be asked to do that, because it wasn't an easy thing, but it was a necessary thing for the people that were there. And I had a good friend tell me afterwards that God led me well in what was said. And I always believe that. I always believe if you turn it over to God, He will lead you well in what you have to say. You know, the most interesting thing, though, about that reunion was, after we sat there for a while, me and some of the people I was close friends with at school would sit around and look and go, you know, people have gotten a little older, maybe a little more hefty and some other things, but they really haven't changed any. Because the same ones that went to the pond in somebody's backyard on the farm and drank themselves silly were starting to do that at the open bar there at the reunion. You would think after 20 years that some people would change a lot. And you know, that happened too, at least physically. One of my good friends from the church group I was in came up to me and started talking to me, and I thought, I have no clue as to who this person is, even though I'd done many things with him. And then when he said his name, I go, that can't be you, because it looked absolutely nothing like him. He even won the award for the most different looking in the event. But you see, if we'd spent time with more people, we would have found out all sorts of things they were doing, how they really had changed in many different ways, some for the better. A lot of them weren't living in the town anymore and had moved away and gone on to other things. But you know, the most curious thing for me was those that I had known when I was in high school that were part of the church I was part of or some other one, how their faith had either maintained or grown or maybe even faded away. There was one person in particular, though, that was most amazing to me. He was a friend of mine in school, and we had several classes together. He was a math nerd like I was, so we enjoyed that together. And You know, we were even in a speech class together, and one time we were putting together a speech that we were supposed to do together, and he wanted to compare the environment with what was in the Bible and what was at the first. And I thought, well, this is an amazing thing to come from somebody who was a professing atheist. But I said, sure, let's go for it. So he read some different news articles, and I read part of the scripture, and we made it into a speech. Well, lo and behold, by this time, this guy was very involved in his church and had Jesus in his heart. It's nice to see whether or not anything I ever did or said had any effect on him coming to that at some point. I don't really care. But I was never afraid to say who I was or to tell people about God if they asked me about it. It's the kind of things that you're happy to say, what are you doing? And the person comes up with a statement like that, that they have found God. The sad thing is, though, that the other thing also happens is that people have turned away from God, even though they had a good upbringing and were really strong, maybe in their church and stuff, but as soon as they got away from home, they walked away. And that's when I think God most looks down and asks that same question. What are you doing? You used to profess to know me, and now you're ignoring me? After all, the longer that we are Christians and profess to be, the longer we should have been eating the solid food that really strengthens us and helps us to grow. And how do we accomplish some of these things? You know, some people don't believe that you have to go or that you need to go to worship. They go, I can go out in the wilderness and worship. Yeah, you can do that. I've done that. But you know what the big problem is? That worship isn't just about, you can worship between you and God a lot, but you also need the support of all the other people that are around you, so that as you collectively lift up God's name, it reflects back on you and it lightens your heart and helps you jointly to take away burdens or to share them with each other, even if you're not speaking them. Because when we worship together, God really smiles. And he might ask you again, what are you doing? This is great. The other thing is, it's done by studying and reading the Bible. It's amazing how many people come to church every Sunday, know their Bible fairly well, but rarely open it from Sunday to Sunday. Because it's when you keep in contact with it, however you choose to do that, that it helps you to keep growing. And you know what? By continuing to study the Bible, that's the solid food that God is talking about. His Word, as you continue to feed on it, will help you to learn more and allow you to be able to teach those around you. Another big area where it's done is it's done through prayer. You know, so many times we're anxious to pray when there's something bad going on, and sometimes we're thankful for things, but we need to really take God up when we're told to pray constantly, because I think we should. You know, I work in a in a factory. My illustrious job there is as a custodial engineer, which allows me really to have contact with all of the people that are working on the machines and in the offices and stuff. And it's amazing, over the course of the 2 years that I've been there, the number of people that have come up to me and shared with me things that are going on with their life that I know they're not sharing with everyone around them. And then asking me to, not right there, but to remember them in prayer and many different things. And it's nice to run into the ones that are Christians, because then we can share a common bond even there on site. It's nice to have those people to be supportive of each other, to know that there are other Christians working there too, because you can't always tell it by the way some people talk. But you can always tell it by the way they behave. I just think of the number of different kinds of prayer requests that I've had people come up to me. One person, her husband was going through cancer treatment. And I said, sure, I'll pray for him. And unfortunately, right after he was pronounced cured, my daughter came up with that ailment too. And it was lymphoma too. And I go, we had so much in common. We've shared with each other some of the things we've gone through together, and we get to pray. And she goes, you prayed so hard for my husband, I'm going to pray just as hard for your daughter. That's when God really smiles and goes, what are you doing? Because that's what it's all about, when we can share our burdens with other people. Maybe we don't know them so well, but we can do that. We're allowed to share with each other. I think the biggest thing, though, is for us to remember that in whatever it is we do, that we can say that we're following Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. So that when somebody comes up and asks us what we are doing, we have some great things to share with them. And most of all, to be able to share with them our love for God and the things that God continues to do for each and every one of us. So now, the next time you go up and ask somebody, what are you doing? Be sincere in wanting to know, for one thing. Sometimes we'll just ask that and they'll ramble off something and we won't pay much attention to it, and the next day we couldn't even have told you what they said. But you need to be sincere. If you're going to ask that question, you have to be sincere, because we know that God is sincere when he asks each and every one of us that question. Because it's through sincerity that God shines through us. Anybody can go and behave like everyone else, but sometimes it takes a little more strength to step out and sometimes be different. I hope that you're ready, maybe, to ask somebody, what are you doing, or to be asked that. And don't be afraid to respond with what God has done in your life.